As you reach the end of a long day with an excess of stress, how do you recharge? Have you found that a long walk outside in nature provides this renewal? The relationship between walking and well-being is the focus of this episode of Stats and Short Stories. I'm John Baylor. Stats and Stories is a production of Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film, as well as the American Statistical Association. Rosemary Pennington, professor of journalism, joins me in the studio. Our guest today is Dr. Altea Lorenzo Arribas, who is a socioeconomic statistician at Biomathematics and Statistics Scotland, an elected member of the Royal Statistical Society Council, and secretary of the Royal Statistical Society History of Statistics section. She also was part of a team that studied whether participation in outdoor physical activities provided physical and mental health benefits. In particular, they investigated the way the different environmental and emotional factors involved in walks interrelate. Altea, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I got to start with, how do you even study the potential impacts of walks in nature on well-being?
That's a very good question. Well, you just go walking, basically.
I guess we can end the show right now.
No, there's a bit more to it. But I have to say, part of this project was, the most important part of this project was done by Melissa Marcel, who was actually doing her PhD on this topic, and she went into outdoor walks and she started studying how people, talking to people and assessing how they were feeling, and then developed a questionnaire where people could report on the number of birds that they saw, on the numbers of butterflies, how did they feel at the time, how did they feel when they started the walk, how did they feel after the walk, and in general trying to work out what were the factors that made them feel better after the walk, beyond the actual physical activity. So she wanted to try and understand how different green environments affected people's well-being. So she did this example not only with the walks she went to physically, but also through campaigns of green walks and outdoor walks. And this is how she managed to estimate this relationship between environmental factors and green spaces and well-being.
Well, what did this study uncover? Then I am curious.
Yes, this is a very, very good question. And I can't say I remember the exact outcomes of the study, but overall there was an effect of a higher biodiversity and more natural-looking environments on an increase in the mental well-being, in these more positive affects, as they call them. Melissa Marcel was the main driver of this work, but there were other environmental psychologists within the team, and so they work with the scales that they used to working with to measure these positive or negative affects. So they just found this higher relationship between more natural looking environments, more biodiverse, more these environments that were taking you more away from your routine, from your house and your concrete in front of the house, and they were just trying escapes, I guess.
So now I got to know, did they study also people taking walks in concrete jungles? I mean, you know, if you're walking in the streets of Edinburgh, you know, dodging tourists, you know, going up the hills,
that's probably
there,
not relaxing.
Is that, you know, but I got to know. I mean, you know, because the question for me as the confounder is, maybe it's just the exercise. Maybe it doesn't matter where you walk. It's just the fact that you're walking that matters.
So, yeah, that's a very good question. And I have to say, they weren't necessarily urban parks, but they were parks that were less naturalistic than others. So there were parks that had more built-in paths or more. So it was more difficult to get away from it, or perhaps roads were closer to. So there were factors accounting for that. But I also can mention a different study by other different researchers within the James Hutton Institute as well, that actually look at the effect that potential noise in urban parks can have on the benefits from well-being. So this was more of a lab experiment in the sense that you actually responded to a computer. So you were put in front of a computer and you look at the image of a park that was more isolated, that you couldn't see buildings, and you have to decide whether that was more calming than the other park that was just surrounded by buildings and on top of that had added noise, traffic noise. And so they assess as well the effect of noise and also visual distractions in the sense of more urban environments, and also look at a potential effects of this. But I agree, the projects could be easily expanded and looking more at how these factors affect potential well-being. But I also agree that it's slightly difficult to disentangle the physical from the mental well-being.
It's really interesting because wellness is such a, and well-being is such a important sort of top of mind topic right these days, and just you hear a lot of anecdotal evidence for people saying like, I love being out in trees, or I just feel so much calmer when I'm not on a treadmill. And so thinking through like, how do we test wellness, which feels like a squishy concept, I think it for me is so fascinating because there are so many things, so many confounding factors that could be impacting, you know, what you want to test versus what you actually get.
Yeah, and I guess the issue here as well was that the sample of people responding to this questionnaire. So they were basically self-selected. These were people that were going for walks. Therefore, they were already likely to enjoy the walks and enjoy the benefits of them. So yeah, it's not completely conclusive, and there will be ways to randomize respondents or do analysis that can be more statistically robust. But it was an interesting study in the sense that it did reflect some of the more qualitative assessment that they had done before, and that it was a good proof of concept for potentially better design experiments. As I say, it was something that I came secondly to. It was, the problem was already designed, so it was just analyzing the data. But it was definitely interesting food for thought, and potentially could be done at a bigger scale and with a more representative sample, not necessarily of people who like the outdoors and like going on walks.
Yeah, I could easily imagine the spin-offs of this with children, mm-hmm. you know, so children giving the, you know, kind of awesome. Being involved in this and seeing how they respond, sort of other populations that could be part of this.
Yes, I've seen within the institute as well some PhD student work on GPS. So the children wearing GPS watches that record their physical activities and linking the data with a location, so with green spaces but also blue spaces. So this was work being done in Aberdeen, actually. Aberdeen is on the coast, in the northeast coast of Scotland. And so it was trying to assess that from the point of view of teenagers, actually, which was particularly interesting as well, with adolescents perhaps wanted to be more at home and watching TV, but they wanted to assess how these few visits to parks or the beach affected their well-being. And then they were asked questions on these smart watches on how they felt. And so it was quite an interesting and potentially one of the more robustly statistically designed studies looking at that.
So now I have to know, after you get involved in research like this, do you feel like this pressure to go out and walk in nature? And I have to feel better now. I mean, I've got to have I have to have more of a positive effect. Why don't I feel more of a positive effect?
I certainly do, but I was converted already, living in the, so it's difficult to assess, but yeah, living in Scotland with this great access to the Cairngorms, to the Highlands, to the beautiful landscapes, I was already sort of convinced of the benefits that it had for me. But yeah, it certainly makes you appreciate the whether spotting a bird or no makes you happier or no, and you do start thinking more about that sort of aspects to the work, actually, how is potentially true that when you see more birds and it's not just seagulls or a pigeon, when you see something that is more exotic, then you feel more interested.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this episode of Stats and Short Stories. Althea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, Stats and Stories is a partnership between Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film and the American Statistical Association. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or other places where you can find podcasts, and follow us on LinkedIn and X. If you'd like to share your thoughts on the program, send your email to statsandstories@miamioh.edu or check us out at statsandstories.net. And be sure to listen to future editions of Stats and Stories, where we discuss the statistics behind the stories and the stories behind the statistics.